This is Jim Inkster, and good morning to you on an interesting day in the Capital Region. And folks are away from their jobs today in many cases, including state government. But it's okay at Courcy Boulevard in the Investar Tower where this program originates. And we thank the Mayor President for the support for this show. Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome's office is the signature sponsor for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757, and we open with a seasoned Louisiana politico who braved the storm this morning and drove to the studio. It is rainy, but so far it's not terrible. But Jim Brown is a guy who not only has been around the block a time or two in Louisiana politics, but I think you found the fountain of youth. You get younger looking every time I see you, Jim Brown.
Well, clean living and a young wife and a combination of work. I worked out this morning, by the way. I had a nice workout this morning. And
at the gym?
I do. I had COVID a few years back, completely recovered except for one thing. I wake up at 4 o'clock every morning and I can't go back to sleep. So I'm at a local gym on Airline Highway, the Crunch Fitness with a group of young guys that I work out with. And so, of course, the problem is you don't go out to dinner too much when you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So,
well, I used to see you on the town. In fact, Jim Brown owned restaurants for a while. Semolina's, that was a great place.
It's my wife's restaurants. I had 7 restaurants in the state, and people ask about them all the time. And I wish you'd get back in. I miss eating all that pasta.
Well, pasta can, if you overdo it, if you do the bread with it, you can put on the pounds.
Heavy and white sauces.
Yeah, those glucose levels can go through the roof. But talk about killing you softly. It's good stuff, isn't it?
Sure is.
Well, Jim Brown, speaking of soft, our governor is anything but soft. This is not a feather duster governor. It's a sledgehammer governor. And today there is an editorial in The Advocate, bills to weaken public records law or bad government. And over the weekend, James Finn wrote a nice story about a bill filed in the Senate that would eviscerate the state's open records law by blocking from public view emails, text messages, and other documents produced at all levels of government, from the town hall, as he writes in Waterproof, to the governor's office in Baton Rouge. The bill from Senator Heather Cloud, Republican from Turkey Creek, is one of 3 filed by Republican lawmakers. The deadline to enter proposals was last week, and it would add transformative new hurdles to the state's public records process. Some of the provisions appear tailored to the office of Jeff Landry, who has bristled at scrutiny and once sued Andrea Gallo of The Advocate over a public records request. But Cloud Senate Bill 482 goes the farthest of those bills by gutting from the list of records eligible for public access all documents that detail, quote, deliberations in government work. It would exempt documents containing advisory opinions, recommendations, and deliberations that feed into any government decision or policy-making choices. Now, as you can imagine, some watchdog groups don't like it, but it appears the governor has the mojo at the Capitol to get almost anything he wants. But this has special relevance for our guests because you are the author of the law which may be gutted, correct?
Open Meetings Law and Public Records Act in 1974. I authored that piece of legislation. At the time, it was looked on as the strongest public records act in the country, and I'm deeply concerned about the weakening efforts because, when you just hide, you mentioned that from Waterproof down to Baton Rouge, I think I used to be the senator for Waterproof. It's a little bitty town up in Tensaw Parish across from Natchez, Mississippi, and police jurors and school boards often don't have a sense of why public records act are important and public meetings are important. So as a consequence, they go behind closed doors, make all the decisions how they're going to spend or keep the records secret, and therefore the public has no idea of what transpires. And that's just not healthy.
I went through Waterproof a few years ago, as I often do when I drive to Little Rock, and it's an interesting little town. Like many others, it's not what it used to be, but I was speeding, and the marker changes pretty quickly, and this police officer stops me, and he says, "You were speeding." I said, "Yes, sir, I know I was. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to." And And he gave me a break, and I said, well, thank you. I said, I hope people don't know you've done this. And he goes, that's okay. I'm also the mayor.
Well, doing double duty there, huh? And I want to thank Mayor Johnson, I believe. I've tried to stay in touch with my district. In fact, Jim, as you know, I write a lot of books, and I'm going to make one more swing, the last Jim Brown's last rodeo, and I'm going to go through that senatorial district and around the state, and so I'll definitely stop in Waterproof and share the story with the mayor up that way.
Well, and you and I have a connection to Brother Jimmy Swaggart. He was my first full-time boss in radio, and of course, you grew up right there. Well, you didn't grow up. As a young adult, when you're first starting out, you're a lawyer, young guy on the move, and Faraday, Louisiana, his hometown. Now, he had moved, I think, to Wisner at that point, not too far away, but his cousin Jerry Lee was holding court.
Well, I'm incorporated the first church that Jimmy Swaggart's dad put together so he could borrow money to build his church up in Faraday. And Jimmy Swaggart was a very young, much younger than me. I say much younger than me, maybe 7 or 8 years younger.
Actually,
than me.
He's a little bit older than you, Jim.
Well, now maybe, you know,
he's born in 35.
I guess I get he and Mickey Gilley and Jerry Lee Lewis.
But anyway.
Up.
Jimmy
Swaggart and I both gave eulogies at Jerry Lewis's funeral here last year.
So well,
first time I'd seen Brother Swaggart here.
All right.
In a few
well,
years.
We've reminisced, and hopefully our folks who are listening are not in harm's way, but we're glad you're listening. If you'd like to comment or call or ask a question to James Harvey Jim Brown, 877-217-5757. Charles in Lake Charles. Is that correct? Charles, good morning.
Yes, I was wanting to know, get an update on the Louisiana National Guard headed to Texas to help them with their immigrants.
Okay, what about the guards being sent to the border by Governor Landry? We mentioned the governor in his first 3 months has been, shall we say, active. And when we talk about this, he was governor for 24 days in January, for 29 days in February, that's 53, 31 days in March, that's 84. He's in day 94. I've never known a more active governor, and it's everything, and including sending troops to the border, Jim.
Well, commenting on Charles, I was in the Louisiana National Guard for 12 years, and I know their role. And you know when I have ever felt the most safe in Louisiana in my adult years was when the National Guard was sent down to New Orleans after Katrina and guarded there. So if you're going to put the National Guard anywhere, let's put them in New Orleans, in my opinion. Let's don't send them off to the border. It's Louisiana tax dollars. I'm concerned about the border. It's going to be a major issue in the presidential campaign. But we can use the National Guard.
Texas can handle it without us.
Well, I think we ought to keep the National Guard at home. There's plenty for them to do at home with the weather like we see today with various weather-related factors. But again, I think we need some National Guardsmen in New Orleans, quite frankly. Charles, thank you for the question.
Thank you, Charles. And I mentioned the bill from Senator Heather Cloud, 482, and a listener is Tracy at the Capitol. I'm glad you're working today, Tracy. Thank you. But she asked about the other two bills, J. Morris, 423, Senate bill. He's from West Monroe. It would limit who can make public records requests to Louisiana citizens. Watchdogs say that it risks alienating out-of-state businesses and others who want to do business in the state but don't live here. And another one by Blake Miguez, Republican from New Iberia. It's 502. Senate bill 502 would require ID checks on those who file requests.
Both are terrible bills because, again, businesses today, we're trying to attract businesses in Louisiana. We've got most of our bright young people seem to be moving out of Louisiana. And if you impede businesses that have major presence here but in other states, maybe domiciled somewhere else, that just doesn't make sense. They say, what's going on down there in Louisiana? They're trying to put up barriers to keep us away. Same thing with the ID. What are you supposed to do before you make a public records request to show your driver's license? Again, that's just impeding a good business climate here in the state of Louisiana.
877-217-5757. Leonard in Lafayette. Leonard, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Jim, I just wanted to call and tell you that at our age, everybody gets up at 4 a.m.
Well, come join me for a workout. I've got about 15, 20-year-olds who I work out with. They're active, they're aggressive, and I have to kind of drag myself in, but I try to do my best to keep up with them. And you're right, we've all got to keep our focus there, Jim, and I appreciate you calling in to tell me that.
Thank you, Leonard. I work out, and I see a lot of young guys from Catholic High are now hanging out at the Spectrum, and you know they're staying fit, and I love that. And also, I'm seeing them running around my neighborhood, Catholic High and St. Joseph's Academy, running like crazy through the Garden District. I love that. But I do notice some of these guys are posing before the mirror. That's bad form, Jim.
I wish I could pose and flex my muscles. I'm just trying to hang in there, Jim.
I only pose when nobody's looking. 877-217-5757. We'll be back and spend some more time with the veteran Jim Brown. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. And there's nothing to get the media more energized, and I think in this case for good reason, than to try to limit public records requests. And the Advocate is chiming in, and it is the newspaper of record, the Advocate and the Picayune, and a listener asks, will it make a difference? Because the Advocate doesn't have a vote at the state capitol, but Jeff Landry has a supermajority in both the House and Senate. I suspect they'll pass these bills. I don't know. Or will they say, look, maybe we've gone a little too far?
I hope there's some voices speaking up. Right now, there's no coalesced, loyal opposition, if you will, to the governor. The governor is pushing very, very hard. Jim, I've served under four governors, and when I was in public life and the various offices I had, I've taught history at both Louisiana and LSU about Louisiana governors. I've never seen a governor so aggressive and moving so fast. Closest was Edwin Edwards, I can remember, because I was his floor leader, and he pushed a very heavy agenda.
First session.
That's right. The Constitutional Convention, so many things he did. But he would listen to reason. I want on the open meetings law, but I'll tell you one that picking architects and engineers, big patronage plum for governors. I wanted to make it be picked by a selection board. And I went to see Edward. He says, you know, you're taking all my patronage away. I said, Governor, we ought to do this. He says, you know what? It's the right thing to do. There was a give and take. I don't see the give and take going on right now, and I think it's a mistake because you can move so fast, and not only can you stumble, but you can also leave some potholes later on down the line that I don't think is healthy. You mentioned the open meetings law. All these changes put the word out to business. Well, look, they want to make the decisions affecting our business behind closed doors. They want to make us go through all kinds of hoops to get public records that we may need for zoning and other requirements. That's just not what we consider business friendly in Louisiana. We better look elsewhere. And I think that's going to hurt us in the long run.
Okay, 877-217-5757 is your number, and talk@talklouisiana.org is our email address. And Jim Brown is always an eloquent guest, and a guy at his age, I mean, he's got no agenda. He's been there, done that, so you're going to get the unvarnished opinion from him. He may be right, he may be wrong, but he would be the first to acknowledge that.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm trying to hang in there as an old. I'll be 84 next month.
I know.
But and I so know you know that. You've got a good mind about remembering all those dates. I wish you wouldn't remember my age. But as I say, we're alive here in the state with so much going on. And controversy is good. I understand that. But there's got to be the give and take. There's been a few voices out there. You've had Representative Manny Landry your show before, who's very strong in speaking out. I don't agree with a lot of what she says or does, but she's eloquent in speaking out and being somewhat the loyal opposition. We need a lot more of that here in the state.
Well, and she is one of six white Democrats left at the state capitol. Six.
I think that it's going to be important to see who the new head of the Democratic Party is to build a coalition to speak out like you have on the national level. We don't have that in Louisiana. We haven't had that for some years.
And before we go back to the phone lines, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I do hear from people who are in the know that Kim Mulkey, the coach, celebrated coach at LSU with four national titles, was quite hurt, upset, depressed over what happened regarding the national anthem, and I don't believe she intended any slight, but she took a whipping in the court of public opinion, and of course the governor's also getting some pushback on this, but if it is accurate, it was even considering leaving over the weekend and decided not to, and thank goodness that she didn't. But was that a fight that was worth fighting? I remember Dan Rather said for 6 months he was ordered by his handlers to lead with the O.J. Simpson story, and he hated it, but he said, I don't want to die in this ditch. So he did it. What about making the national anthem the issue that that our governor did?
I think it was how it was handled. I think it's a legitimate thing to suggest that maybe we ought to be performing the national anthem maybe just before tip-off or kickoff. But the governor made it an attack on Kim Mulkey. And Mulkey was doing just what she was doing as a coach for years. What the governor should have done, quite frankly, Jim, is call in all the athletic directors in the state and say, listen, I'm very patriotic. I know you folks are too. We need to get the national anthem played with the team out there. You can see them standing in line, and it's a wonderful thing. But so why don't you quietly come up with a proposal to do this? What he did was attack Kim Mulkey, and I can see why she's offended. She had good reason to be offended. So it wasn't what the issue was. It was how it was handled.
Henry at the Country Club. Henry, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, sir.
Hello. Well, both Mr. Jims, good talking to y'all on this beautiful day. I crawled out from under my bed to call in because, you know, we're all supposed to be scared today. I was wondering about the open meeting thing and the public records request. You think any of that could have to do with, like this reporter Andrea Gallo for the Advocate? She seemed to have whooped Landry every time he went up against her on public records request in the past, and maybe he's just trying to get the law so he can win it for a change.
Well, I hope that's not the reason. You know, we don't need to make this personal, and that's one of the big problems I see in the change, quite frankly. James Carville, there was a column I read about him maybe in the New York Times recently where he said, politics just isn't fun anymore. And we've had this edge where everything is personal. The parties make it personal, and I hope that's not the case in terms of the governor making it personal, getting back at someone. The issues are too important. And look, Louisiana's got a lot of ground to make up. We are behind in so many lists, and we've got some ground to make up. And Landry, as an aggressive governor, could help us make up that ground. But making it personal like that is a huge mistake, in my opinion.
In this, all three of these bills, they're ripe for a constitutional challenge if they're passed. I would imagine somebody would file suit saying they were unconstitutional.
Well, I'm a lawyer. If someone can send me a fee, they are. And number one, I hope some reasonable minds in the legislature will sit down and say, and in fairness to the governor, you know, he's not taken a stand on any of this legislation. The sense is that he would not, these legislators would have not have put this legislation in without clearing it with the governor. But we don't know that, so I hope the governor will try to reach a compromise.
He could veto it or not. Well, if he doesn't sign it, it would become law without his signature. But I don't think he's the kind of guy who's going to do that. He's either going to tell you, I'm with you, or I'm not. But it does appear that there is a resistance to an open process as far as what's going on in public venues being open to the public. David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Brown, it would take the rest of the program to describe and outline the detrimental effects Louisiana is experiencing from provable, observable, beyond debatable, human-caused climate change. Now, the governor and the legislature, they want to drill in everybody's backyard. And now, is that the influence of the oil lobby or the state government in Louisiana take their marching orders from the rapist, fraudster, and soon-to-be felon convicted Donald Trump?
All right.
Well, I don't think the issue is all that clear. Yes, we've got a huge climate change issue. Maybe that affects us today, but we've seen reports where, a part of South Louisiana, places like Thibodeau and Morgan City, may not even be on the map in 30 or 40 years. Not 200 years, but and probably not in my lifetime.
But 40 years, yeah.
That's right. So there are some climate change issues that, quite frankly, we have not addressed. If I were governor, and I tried to be back in 1987, didn't get very far, but I talked about issues like you're talking about in terms of the environment, of having a special task force just to balance all this out. We've got and I reached a blank, Jim, in my old age. Bob, the environmental writer for the Morning Advocate, Bob... who am I thinking of?
Marshall.
Bob Marshall has written some marvelous columns about our failure to take aggressive steps in coastal erosion and other issues. We ought to have a gathering of voices along that way.
877-217-5757 is your number. We're back after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And Jim Brown is with us. Always a pleasure to catch up with him. Robin Dow and Renee Martin are producing today. And Jim Brown's a guy who grew up in St. Louis, went to the University of North Carolina, then went to law school at Tulane, and has made Louisiana his home ever since. He started in Faraday, then moved to Baton Rouge, and spends a lot of time in the great city of New Orleans. And I have people much younger than us who say, I won't go down to that city. It's too dangerous, Jim Brown. I understand you're talking about moving there. Is that
well,
is that
what? Well, not permanently, but first of all, you've got a big listener audience in New Orleans with another station you tie in down there that listens to us. And because I get stopped a lot and say, hey, I heard you on Jim Extra Show, people in New Orleans. But, Jim, you've got a coffee cup on your desk right now that says, the two things I like to do is eat and read, and that's me at my age. I like to read a good bit of the day, and I like to eat good food. And we're doing better in Baton Rouge, quite frankly, but there's no place in America that's better for good eating than New Orleans. And so I've got grandkids down there, so we're going to find an apartment or someplace to kind of hang out where I can just maybe try some of my favorite old-line restaurants. Looking forward to it.
877-217-5757. Tyrone in St. Gabriel. Hello, Tyrone. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hello, Jim and Jim. I'm calling because I'm crying for Louisiana every day. And I don't recall a period of time where one party has done more to damage this state. And the regression is absolutely awful. And I think you both have been too kind to the governor. I think, and 3 months that he's been in office, he has done more damage than Jindal did in 8 years. And something has got to be done about the Republican dominance.
All right, you're obviously an eloquent man, Tyrone, but what damage has Jeff Landry done at this point?
Well, let's talk about all his initiatives, the open meetings law, if that's the correct term. Crime bill, the crime reform, Louisiana already has the highest prison population per capita. And daily you read about the new legislation, the Constitutional Convention.
Tyrone, let me jump in to tell you, though, and I see where you're coming from, but Louisiana is no different from the entire South. For 8 years, we had a Democratic governor. We're the only state in the Deep South, 12 states that even had a Democratic governor. So I think you make a point, and it's no surprise the focus that Jeff Landry is taking. He is merely reflecting what you're seeing across the South. What is happening here is we don't have voices like yours as the loyal opposition. The Democratic Party has been in disarray. You know, we had a pretty active Democratic Party when people like Jim Bernhardt, Buddy Leach, people that could put their own money and help the party. We don't have that right now. It's in disarray. There's a big fight over who's going to be the chairman, and the party's not being funded. They're not putting up candidates. And so until we get that loyal opposition, well, you're going to see just what you're talking about, Tyrone.
And I recall when you ran for governor, as you mentioned, in 1987, most of the candidates challenging Edwin Edwards that year were Democrats. You, Buddy Romer,
Buddy Romer,
a Democrat.
Billy Tozan
was a Democrat. Speedy Long was a Democrat. Now, Bob Livingston was a Republican, but I would imagine if the Republican Party stays as immense as it is, that there will be factions within the Republican Party. That it's just inevitable. It's not going to be a monolithic case forever, but I think that's why Jeff Landry is doing what he wants to do, or trying to do what he wants, because he knows that at some point he won't have the easy road he's got now. And I'd have to say, as I have stated on this show, he believes he's leading the state in the right direction. And if you truly believe that, as he does, and I truly believe the man's sincere, then go while you got it. And that's why he's moving fast.
Well, and we talked about Edwin Edwards earlier. I mean, his first term, he blew through that first term. And I've had people like Ed Steimel, who was head of the Public Affairs Research Council, say that those 4 years were probably the most productive years in Louisiana's history. And yet then he bogged down as the terms wore on. So Landry is not a guy he's a pretty bright guy. And maybe you agree with him, maybe you don't. But I think he realizes the quicker he can move with a fairly responsive legislature, the better. Because as you said, Jim, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get a little tougher as he digs in. And so that's why he's moving so fast. Some go way beyond. I know there's a bill to allow him to appoint the Supreme Court. You know, Earl Long said, look, I'm all for appointing those judges as long as I can do the appointing. And that's where we see right now. We ought to elect our judges. I'm not a fan of federal judges who get these lifetime appointments. We've had some real renegades and some very poor judges. We've got some pretty bright ones in the Baton Rouge area right now. But allowing the governor to appoint all of the Supreme Court's a bad idea. That's one of the proposals that are put forth. Again, the governor's being kind of coy because when asked about it, he says, well, I really don't have a position on all these various
the
laws.
Other thing,
but you know
too,
they're coming from
his
administration.
If you like the idea of a governor you've supported doing that, there will be a time when a governor you don't support is doing it. You might not like it as much.
Well, very as far as the
appointees, yes.
As far as the appointment, I agree. we don't do always great with the elected judges, but it's just it's not a very good system to elect them, but it's better than anything else has been offered so far, quite frankly.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in with Jim Brown. Let's go to Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Hi, Patrick. You're on. Good morning.
Hey, when I hear constitutional convention, you know, our constitution, I hear what I think of as a document that protects our rights from excessive state government or government. Okay. So what I would like to see is the legislature pass a constitutional right that our state government cannot dictate, because we've seen what's happened in California with the $20 minimum wage. I don't think government should be able to dictate to an employee or an employer what they agree is a fair wage. We should abolish minimum wage. And wouldn't you say that minimum wage is unconstitutional? It's basically the government dictating what an employer can charge, pay, and what an employee is willing to accept.
Well, to stay on the constitutional issue there, if you will. And again, I was the author. I was one of several authors of the legislation that created the last constitution, 19 CC 73. I was an elected delegate. I think we need a new constitution. I said this when I ran for governor in 1987. But how you do it, it's not the idea, it's how you do it. When I was the author, we set up a program where every single parish elected a delegate. Some were legislators, some were just average citizens. And the governor did have some appointments, and you had some very bright delegates there. Camille Gravel, Lawrence Shahardy, Woody Jenkins here in the Baton Rouge area. We really had some good delegates there for that constitution. And we took time. We deliberated over a year, and we came out with a pretty good document. little by little it's been chipped away with vested interests, so we need a new constitution. But we don't need to jam it through as the governor is suggesting right now.
Having lawmakers do it, as I've mentioned, lawmakers, they serve at the pleasure of an electorate. A constitutional convention delegate, in my view, and perhaps others, should serve as more of a judge. It's a legal process without any interference or any look at the next election. It should be a process in which, is this something that is constitutional, not whether it's something that's popular.
Ron Fauché, who writes a column every week in The Advocate, former state legislator, made a good comment this weekend. I saw, he said, look, we don't need to prepare a plumber's manual. What we need to do is have the overall concepts that, like the last caller was talking about, but protect individual rights, but still let the legislature make some reasonable decisions. That's a hard balance to reach. You don't do it in a special session in a couple of weeks. You do it over a year's time with a good leader. Bubba Henry, former Speaker of the House, was head of our Constitutional Convention. And I'll give you one little anecdote. Buddy Romer, who became for governor later on, we would play tennis after working at the Constitution every day. Then we'd go to the Pastime Bar in Baton Rouge, eat a pizza and drink a couple of beers, and we were co-chairman of the section on financing state government. We wrote that with several other delegates at the Pastime. Took a long time, give and take, deliberations, not jammed down anybody's throat, quite frankly, Jim.
All right, 877-217-5757. Robin tells me that Caroline Paul has agreed to step aside. It's likely she will be with us tomorrow, and she has a fascinating story, but she's listening to Jim Brown, says he's got the listeners revved up, so we'll go the full hour with Brother Jim. 877-217-5757. Ike and Gonzalez. Hello, Ike. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hello, Ike. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You're both great Jims, great Louisiana citizens. Mr. Brown, years ago you wrote an article, and I can't remember whether it was 5 or 7, but you missed, it was about 7, I think, missed opportunities in Louisiana. One of them was the processing tax, which, you know, if done correctly, I believe would move this state forward. Are you still of the opinion that we should do something like that?
What?
The processing tax, the Foster Campbell, and Dave Treen, who was the first.
I was going to say, a Republican Governor Treen first pushed that forward because we've got all the oil and gas coming, rather the oil and gas coming through our pipelines. I think the processing tax was an excellent idea and should have passed it under a Republican governor. And you mentioned Foster Campbell, and it's been talked about for 30 or 40 years. And you're right, I've written about it. I write columns every week at jimbrownla.com.
Back after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana in the home stretch. Another quarter hour to go, so there's time to get in if you wish. With Jim Brown, your number's 877-217-5757. Jason in Jones Creek. Jason, you're on Talk Louisiana with Jim Brown. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jim and Jim. Hey, just a quick question. How do you guys feel about the efforts to do away with the state inspection for the vehicles? I don't see how that's any kind of common sense thing to do. And who's that going to benefit? And how's that going to make our roads safer?
Well, we already have insurance issues. And if we have cars on the road that are spewing out bad stuff or perhaps in need of repair and shouldn't be on the road, that's a prescription for trouble. So there is a move, Jim. I don't know how far this one's going to go, but to do away with the so-called brake tags.
Most states make you have a inspection. In fact, I'm due for one right now in my car. But, Jim, I would agree with you. I think the pros outweigh the cons because, as you say, the fumes coming out of the gas tank, the fact that you've got some problem with your brakes, all that's checked over, supposedly, I hope they are. And like you say, we could talk about insurance for the rest of the day. with what's going on at the Capitol and what's going to work. I don't think most of it down there is going to work. And so that all fits in with having a safe car on the road. So I hope we keep it like
that. And you
is.
Have also opined about the move, which may very well, this one may make it no motorcycle helmets mandatory.
Oh, my gosh. I wrote a column about that a couple of weeks ago.
At JimBrownLA.com,
JimBrownLA.com. And look, you know what? I said, you know what a motor, someone that rides a motorcycle is, we call them a potential organ donor. Or I've had a motorcycle since I was 18, gave it up about 4 years ago, and I always wore a motorcycle helmet. You are crazy if you don't wear a motorcycle helmet when you're riding bikes on the road, especially for the kind of drivers we have here in Louisiana. Protect yourself if you're a rider out there. I'm very much against that particular piece of legislation.
877-217-5757, Paul in Opelousas. Hello, Paul. You're on with Jim Brown.
Good morning, Jim. Both the Jims. Couple of questions. How long you give Mike Johnson? Where do you see the insurance? We've attacked this thing 10, 20 times. Where do you see the new commission of insurance going with homeowners and auto? And sometimes you get everything you want as a governor, and sometimes you don't want what you get. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, let's start with Mike Johnson. Marjorie Taylor Greene is moving in for the kill. Democrats may end up having to save Mike Johnson, and they may do it.
Johnson, of course, he's our own, good or bad. He's one of us down here, being a Louisiana guy from Benton, Louisiana. But look, he tried to put a coalition, and he was successful to keep the government open when the deadline hit. He's trying to deal with Ukraine and some major issues, and he's got a lot of internal opposition to him. So, nobody thought he'd ever be speaker to begin with. He was kind of a fluke compromise, if you will. But all in all, within the Republican ranks, I think the guy's done a pretty good job. I'm glad he's from Louisiana. Glad we've got Steve Scalise as number two. I hope we bring some benefits home. But in the meantime, as far as his job, I think he's doing what you would expect to do, and he's been pretty effective at it.
Both Johnson and Scalise are LSU guys, too. And
no doubt.
Hopefully they'll be honored someday, as will Hubert Humphrey by their alma mater. But, Jim, what about insurance? Another question regarding, Tim Temple, and he's an earnest man. And a bright man, but he speaks largely from the industry point of view. He believes that it's a balance and that at this point we got to get more companies doing business in the state. He believes that's what is needed.
I know Brother Tim Temple well, and I certainly wish him luck. The problem is we've got such huge ground to make up, and most of the proposals in the legislature are kind of incremental. They're not going to show major results in the near future, if at all, quite frankly. We need do some very radical things. Look what's happening around the country with inflation and what happened after COVID. Prices have gone up dramatically. I've got my son is a contractor. He's his dad. The cost of materials has gone up 20%. All those additional costs mean your insurance is going to go up, and we've got a lot of catching up to do. So we've got to shake this thing out in the long run. And if Jim will have me back here in the next month or two, I'll give you some detailed ideas about reinsurance and about an umbrella over Louisiana. There's some pretty good ideas coming from the private sector that could help us, but it's a tough, tough problem, and it's going to need a lot of work. First of all, I'll give you one example on a day like this. When I drove out here, Jim, to be on your show, the traffic lights were about to blow off, I thought. The one was terrible, pouring down rain, and I think I counted 20 cars who didn't even have their lights on. Maybe you and I are listening are good drivers there, Paul, but by and large, we got lousy drivers in this state. We're not very good drivers, and people want bigger cars, big SUVs that cost $100,000. All that has to be insured. You have to assume that someone that hits you is uninsured, so you've got to buy uninsured motorist insurance at a higher rate than you find around the rest of the country. Those are some things that Jeff Landry could deal with, quite frankly, with cracking down on traffic enforcement, some other things. And I write about it a lot at JimBrownLA.com, but maybe we'll do an insurance show and talk about it at length. There's some good ideas, but we've got a long way to go to catch up, unfortunately.
All right. Another listener asks about the trial to determine the fate of Louisiana's congressional representation. It's ongoing in Shreveport. And the court yesterday heard testimony from some elected officials, some demographers. And Garrett Graves is confident that his side's going to win and he'll run in his current district, not the one that the legislature, under the advice and counsel of Governor Landry, promoted and accepted. And now, and the clock is ticking, Jim. We're 269 days away from an election, so actually a little 209 days away from an election. What about it?
Many more progressive states don't let the legislature reapportion themselves. I think it's not healthy that there's this personal fight between Garrett Graves, who I think has been a pretty good congressman for Baton Rouge, and the governor. And so it's been all about Graves kind of knocking him out of his district. We shouldn't be putting congressional districts, Supreme Court districts, any district together based on those kinds of personal vendettas or whims. So I don't like the process, it's a long way to go. If I had to guess right now, if you gave me a dollar and said bet on it, I think probably the present system is going to hold up. I don't see the court changing that, but it could happen.
Which, when you say the present system, you're talking about?
The present system being where you have a new additional black right. district. Look, we need African Americans well represented. You know, I'll tell you, one of the fastest growing subgroups in this state are the Vietnamese. Be Vietnamese fishermen in New Orleans. Every nail salon's got a Vietnamese group working there. There are Vietnamese grocery stores that I shop in. There's three I know of in Baton Rouge.
There's some professional Vietnamese people, too. And we had a congressman. We're the only state in the union to have had a Vietnamese congressman in Joe Gao.
So you want to have voices across the dorm. We should have more black representation, but it's the process. This goes back to the legislature.
All right.
It's the process. I just don't like the process of gutting Garrett Graves just because of a personal vendetta, quite frankly.
All right. Barry in Mid-City. Hello, Barry. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to get your guest's comment on the low turnout when we have elections. It seems, according to my reading, that not a whole lot of people go to vote.
All right. For governor's elections anymore. That's a change. But they do vote in presidential elections in Louisiana. You know, twice as many people voted in 2020 as voted in 2023. And I think we can make a case that a governor's election is probably more important, touches the people of a state more than the presidential election does.
It definitely does, but we don't get the turnout. First of all, we have too many elections in Louisiana. And I know this about this because I was Secretary of State for 8 years and ran the election system. We have way too many elections, and there's efforts in the legislature, by the way, now to limit your ability to vote through absentee voting mm-hmm. and through other processes. I see nothing wrong with showing your ID card, but some of the suggestions brought forth are very restrictive compared to other states. But sure, the turnout's too low. We got to cut down on elections. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that most of these elections often already decided because we're a Republican state. So that dampens the turnout.
Well, Jim Brown, when he was Secretary of State, he was a big promoter of music in Louisiana. And I remember when he announced for governor, the guy who was at his side was one Alois Maxwell Hurt. Al, Big Al, Jumbo.
Big Al traveled with me a good bit.
I know. He loved you. But a guy died, and we haven't talked about it on this show, and we should. He died 3 days ago. Clarence Frogman Henry, you knew him, didn't you?
I had maybe 100 or maybe 200 big rallies when I ran for the various offices in Louisiana over 28 years. The best one I ever had, several thousand people down at the Mardi Gras Den, Blaine Kern's Mardi Gras Den in New Orleans, and Clarence Frogman Henry was the group
right.
that ran. And I'll tell you, I love that guy. I got up on the stage and sang his number one song, and I sang it with him, and sang pretty good. What was it, Jim?
It was this one right here. So we're going to close with Clarence Frogman Henry. Stay safe and stay tuned.